Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on how to follow God's will, and that's the title of a five-part album that I have, and the fifth teaching in that album is entitled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery, and that's what I've been talking about this week. So this is the end of my teaching on this second album about God's will. The first album that I talked from was about how to find God's will. This five-part teaching has been about how to follow God's will. And starting on Monday of next week, I'll be starting on how to fulfill God's will. We've actually combined all three of these teachings. Each album is five teachings in it, so this is a 15-teaching album. We've combined them into what we call God's Will Package. And so there's 15 teachings, 15 CDs or DVDs in these three albums. And we've also thrown in this Destiny Stories DVD that we have of many people from all over the world, Uganda, India, the U.S., people who have found God's destiny for their life and are just seeing awesome things happen. So we've made an entire package out of this. We've discounted it to just really what it cost us to put this out, because I think that every person needs to get this. I really believe that. This is something that applies to every single person's life. So I encourage you to please take advantage of this. It'd be a blessing. This week I've been talking about how that there is the wisdom of God in our spirit, but our natural mind, our carnal mind, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, that's a radical statement out of Romans chapter 8. Your natural way of thinking cannot be subject to the law of God. You don't ever get your mind fully into thinking like God. What you've got to do is learn how to flow from the Spirit and let the truth and the wisdom and the knowledge that God has placed in your born-again spirit begin to trump and dominate your natural way of thinking. How do you do that? Well, the Apostle Paul said that he was speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, he got into talking about speaking in tongues and how it should function in the church. And he said, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." You put this together with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Paul said that the things he was using to communicate the gospel wasn't the wisdom of man, but it was the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. You put this together and you can see that at least part of the Apostle Paul's ability to come up with this wisdom of God was because he spoke in tongues. When he spoke in tongues, he was speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. And he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that this is what I'm sharing with you, is the wisdom of God in a mystery. And so I've made this point that in our born-again spirit, you already have the mind of Christ. You know, I didn't read that verse. We stopped on verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 2, 14. But in verse 16, he goes on to say, "We have the mind of Christ." That's not true up here in your little peanut brain. It's not in the part that gets tested and that goes to school. But in your spirit, you have a mind. You have wisdom and knowledge. And in the spirit is where the mind of Christ is. When you got born again, God placed His supernatural wisdom and ability on the inside of you. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that God has already abounded towards us in all wisdom and in prudence. Now, many of you may look at your life and say, "Well, man, I don't have wisdom and prudence." You may not have drawn it out. It may not have affected your natural way of thinking and your actions and decisions. But in your born-again spirit, you have the mind of Christ. It also says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Man, that's a powerful statement. And that term new man is referring to the born-again spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so you became new in your spirit. When it says put on the new man, it's talking about let the spirit part of you dominate, which has been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I know that there's people watching this program that you're struggling to try and find out what God wants you to do, and you just can't figure it out. It's because you are trying in your natural mind to figure it out. But in your spirit, you have been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. What a radical statement that is. That says you know all things. Most people's response watching this program are to think back to your last test or something and say, man, I flunked. I didn't get this right. I didn't get that right. Some of you, you know, can't even remember where you put your glasses, and they're on your head. I've seen that happen. I walked into my secretary the other day, and I walked in and I said, and held my finger and I'd forgotten what I walked in there to talk to her about. You know, we do things like this, and because of stuff like that, we think, I don't know all things. It's not talking about our natural mind up here, but in your spirit, the part of you that has been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, you know all things. Now, either you're going to have to believe that or just tear that out of your Bible. Just take 1 John chapter 2 and just tear it out of your Bible and throw it away and say, no, I don't believe that. You know, it's a sad thing, but most people do not let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. But you should. The Bible says you have an unction. That means a special anointing, an endowment of power from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, is that true or is it not true? You may not have observed it. You may have made so many mistakes you don't feel like that's true, but that's what the Bible says. If you have been born again, in your spirit, you know all things. You have this wisdom. Therefore, now let's apply this towards following God's will. If you are seeking what is God's will for you, well then, in your spirit, you know all things. All you got to do is put that bucket down into the well and draw it out. You start speaking in tongues, and when you speak in tongues, you are speaking this wisdom of God that is coming out of your spirit. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This scripture says that when you pray in tongues, it's your spirit praying. The part of you that has been renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, the part of you that has an unction from the Holy One and knows all things, the part of you that has the mind of Christ. That's not up here in your physical mind, but in your spirit you have a mind. You have wisdom here. How do you get it out? Speaking in tongues is like flipping a switch. It's like turning on this wisdom that's on the inside of you. If you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, you know what? You need to get it. And we can help you with that. You can call, and we've got people that can pray with you. You can receive this gift of speaking in tongues. If you have the gift of speaking in tongues, you need to start using it and expect God to give you wisdom when you start speaking in tongues, because you are praying the hidden wisdom of God. I couldn't tell you how many thousands of times I've done this. You know, I've used this example before, but it's one of the most dramatic illustrations of this that I've got. But when this building that I'm in right now, that I'm making our television programs in, we moved from a 14,000 square foot building into a 110,000 square foot warehouse, a huge leap for us. We bought the building and we took out a loan on that initial $3.2 million purchase. And we did that. But then we needed $3.2 million to convert this empty warehouse into a Bible college and all of the rest of our facilities. And, you know, for 9 months after we had purchased the building, we tried to get our construction loan so that we could start to work. And the banker that we used, it's a Christian credit union, he promised us that we would have this construction loan. And he said that he wouldn't have made the original loan to buy the building if we couldn't have also finished it out, because it was useless to us without having it finished out so that we could use it. So he says, yes, you've got this construction loan. It's just a formality. He told me that every week for 9 months. That's amazing. And I mean, it just drug out. And we had dug trenches and taken the cash that we had and done as much on cash as we possibly could, but we just couldn't seem to get this construction loan. And after 9 months of telling me every week, oh yeah, next week you'll have your approval, you'll have your money. After 9 months, we met with this guy and he says, look, it's been now over a year since we've had an appraisal done on that, and says, we need to get it reappraised and let's just start the whole process over again. And when he said that, I tell you what, that was just absolutely unacceptable to me. Our Bible college had outgrown our previous 14,600 square foot facility. We were crammed in there. We actually had porta potties outside that the men used so that the women could use all of the indoor toilets. And I tell you, in Colorado winter, that was severe. We couldn't accept that we just start this over in 9 months more down the road, still have nothing done. And so I told him, I said, let me pray about this. So you know what I started doing? I did exactly what I'm teaching right here. I believe that in my spirit, I knew all things. I had the wisdom of God. I was renewed in knowledge. I had the mind of Christ. I believe that in my spirit, there was an answer to this situation. And I had tried to do things in the natural. Why did it take me 9 months before I turned to this option? I don't know. Why does it take you and me? Why do we do things our own way before we really turn around and start depending on the Lord? I don't know. There just is a tendency that if we can do it in ourselves, if it looks like that we have some natural solution, we just usually run all of these natural things to their end result. And it's only when there is no other option that we really turn to God. I don't know. But anyway, I just determined that, man, I needed to hear from God. So I've got a trail that I built on my property, and I started walking, and I prayed, and I specifically prayed exactly what I'm teaching you right here. I said, Father, in my spirit, I have the mind of Christ. I have been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created me. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. And when I speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, I am speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. According to 1 Corinthians 14:14, when I pray in tongues, it's my spirit praying, the part of me that has this mind of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, if you pray in tongues, pray also that you may interpret. So I said, Father, I need a word from you. And I am praying in tongues, believing that the wisdom of God is coming out of my mouth as I'm speaking in this language that I don't understand. And I'm asking you to help me to understand. Give me wisdom. Show me your will. And, you know, I've got a rock on this trail that I built. It's just got a flat face on it, and I painted it, and I put on it, if you don't, I will. Talking about Jesus said to those people, if these children don't praise God, then the very rocks would cry out. And so I've got it written there, if you don't, I will. If you don't praise Him, I will. And every time I walk by that rock, it makes me start praising God. And before I got to that rock, which was less than 10 minutes down my trail, I mean, God spoke to me, and I remembered that a good friend of mine had given me a prophecy about all of this expansion, about all of this growth that we were doing. And he says, and God is going to supply your need. You aren't going to have to take out a loan because you have a bank. And I remember when he said that, I thought, I've got a bank. And he goes on to say, your partners are your bank, and your partners are going to underwrite this, and you won't have to take out a loan. Well, I'd already taken out a loan to buy the initial building, and I don't know. I'm not saying that that was God. I'm just saying that that's the way I did it. I didn't even think about it. But when I came to this finishing out this building, another $3.2 million, and I couldn't get it done in the natural. Then I started drawing on the supernatural. I prayed in tongues, and I mean within minutes, the Lord reminded me of that prophecy. The Lord spoke to me and said, this is the reason it's not working, is because I don't want you to do this in the natural. I want you to do it in the supernatural. I'm going to supply this $3.2 million supernaturally, not through a bank, but just through your partners. They're like your bank, and they're going to underwrite this. And I mean, within 10 minutes, boom, I had my answer. Now, you know what else I did? Because that was such a huge deal. And some of you, again, you don't have my perspective on things. You don't understand how big of a miracle that was. But at the rate we had been saving money over the previous, say, 5 or 6 years, at the rate we had been able to put some money aside above our monthly expenses, for me to come up with $3.2 million, I figured it out, and it was going to be close to 100 years at the rate we had been saving money. What this means is that unless this was God, and unless it was really the Holy Spirit that quickened this to me, I could have been just killing this ministry. Because if I made a decision that this is the direction I was going to go, and I am firmly convinced the Scripture says that a righteous man will swear to his own hurt and change not. And if I said we are going to go this direction and we will not take out a loan, if I made that decision, I wouldn't change from it. I mean, if somebody offered me all of the money I needed the next day, I'm not going to change. I wouldn't accept it. And if I made that type of a commitment and went this direction, and if things only operated in the natural, if there wasn't a supernatural response, it could have killed our ministry because we couldn't accommodate the growth and I couldn't wait 100 years. I don't have 100 years. So this was a big deal. So what I did, I prayed about it for another week or so, and I prayed in tongues and asked God to reveal things to me. I made sure that my heart was focused on the Lord. I did all kinds of things. But anyway, after a week or two, I was absolutely convinced that this was God's leading. I came in and talked to David Hardesty, the manager of our ministry, and I said, this is what God has told me to do. And I said, if they come to me tomorrow and say, your construction loan is now approved and we're going to offer you all of the money that you need, I said, I'm not going to take it. I said, we are going to trust God and we're going to pay for this as we go and make it cash. And I made that commitment. Did you know it just so happened that the very next day, another bank that we had dealt with 6 months before came to us and says, you're approved, $4 million. And they offered me $4 million in loan the day after I made that decision. And we turned them down and says, you're too late. We've already had our financing approved by God. We're going to trust our partners. And we made that commitment. And did you know that in less than 14 months after I made that commitment, we had that $3.2 million in. This building was finished. We moved in, and it was a major deal. And I'm saying, you know how that happened? You know how I followed God's will? Do you know how I got over this hurdle? You know how I dealt with things? It was because I believe that in my spirit, I have the perfect wisdom of God. I had the mind of Christ. I had an unction from the Holy One, and I knew all things. I knew what to do. It just was in my spirit, and it wasn't in my brain. And how do you get it out of your spirit into your brain? When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14:14. 1 Corinthians 14:2. It is praying the wisdom of God in a mystery. And 1 Corinthians 14:13, all I have to do is ask God to give me an interpretation and show me what I'm praying. And God gave me that wisdom, and it flowed. I tell you, that's simple. That is so simple, you have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. But you know what? There's a lot of people that reject that. There's a lot of people that think, oh, this is foolish. I can't believe that this is the way you run your life. I'm telling you, I'm not embarrassed. I praise God for this gift. Man, the gift of speaking in tongues. And I'm only showing you just one little, small portion of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues is about. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is much more than speaking in tongues. That's only a portion of it. That's only one of the gifts. And I'm only emphasizing just a small, narrow part of this. There is so much more to this. Isaiah chapter 28 talks about that this is the rest and this is the refreshing wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, with men of stammering lips and another tongue. And it's quoted over here in 1 Corinthians 14, those same verses as talking about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues will cause the weary to rest. It'll refresh you. How many of you have become weary in seeking the Lord or standing and believing for your healing or believing for your prosperity or believing for your family, and you're fainting in your mind and you're weary and you need refreshing? Man, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you speak in tongues, it's like flipping a switch and all of a sudden you just start being refreshed and built up. It says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edifies. The word edify means to promote or to build up, promote spiritual growth. Man, if you need spiritual growth, there are many things that you need to do. Yes, you need a church. Yes, you need friends. Yes, you need fellowship. Yes, you need the Word of God. But yes, you need the Holy Spirit. And you need speaking in tongues, because when you speak in tongues, it edifies. It promotes spiritual growth. It builds you up spiritually. Amen. I know that there's many of you that don't believe that, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'd both be wrong. I'm telling you that this works. I pray in tongues a lot. The Apostle Paul said right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, I speak with tongues more than you all. Talking about the entire body of believers. More than all of them put together, their cumulative amount of time speaking in tongues. He spoke in tongues more than all of them put together. The person who wrote half of the New Testament, all of the people who wrote the New Testament, they were all tongue talkers. And yet there's a lot of people today that look at this and think about, man, this is just not of God. And that, and there's a lot of people that they won't fight this battle about whether it's of God or not, because there's so many scriptures. Like, for instance, right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 39, it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. I mean, the scripture says forbid not to speak with tongues. There are some people that still forbid it despite what the Bible says. There's other people that they won't forbid it. They won't fight that battle, but they want to relegate it as being something that is unimportant, insignificant. It doesn't matter whether you do it or not. I'm telling you, every person, every single person that wrote the New Testament spoke in tongues. The Apostle Paul said he spoke in tongues more than an entire church put together. And he's the one that wrote half of the New Testament. My personal testimony is that speaking in tongues is a very important part of what goes on in my life. And again, I make this comparison that if you like the fruit, then you're going to have to accept the root that produced it. And my relationship with God through the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues being one of them, is a super important part of my relationship with God. And I'm telling you, it would enhance any single person. Every one of you would be better off if you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. You know, we have people that could take your call right now and they could help you to speak in tongues. They could help you to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also, I have a special book on this entitled The New You and the Holy Spirit that I'll give you today as a bonus to all of our other offers. Listen to our announcer, and please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge.
I'd like to add to all of our other materials that we're offering you this book entitled The New You in the Holy Spirit. This is a book that I give out to all of the people who come to our meetings and receive salvation and or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This explains what being born again is, and it also explains the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it emphasizes speaking in tongues and talks about all of the things we talked about today and goes into more detail. I'm going to throw this little book in as our bonus offer to you today. I promise you that this would help you. Also, we have that phone number on your screen. You can call and ask for this, but you can call and ask for prayer to help receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this gift of speaking in tongues.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
There's much more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like working on the ministry helpline.
I'm a first-year student at CBC, and I work in the phone center full-time.
I'm a second-year student at CBC, and I work full-time in the phone ministry.
90% of the volunteers in the phone center are Charis Bible College students.
Thank you for calling Andrew Womack Ministries.
80% of the employees are CBC graduates.
I'm a graduate of CBC last year in 2009, and I've been working in the phone center for 2 years.
The ministry and the college are working hand in hand to deliver the gospel truth every day.
We're changing lives and we're changing the world one life at a time.